Hello, and welcome to the all-new second episode of Super Awkward Fun Time with Elle Latham and your co-host, Kat Doss.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
She's always asking rhetorical questions. That's our Kat Doss.
Maybe I care. Maybe I want to know how you're doing.
Well, she's never going to know, so there's really no point in asking.
I'm the host who cares.
I'm the host who shares. Anyway, we have our second episode guest. Tony Bartoloni.
Hello.
Tell us your credits. We don't do that, but we can start.
I don't have any. I write for Huffington Post.
Woo!
I've been on Super Awkward Fun Time.
The YouTube series.
The YouTube series. And, I don't know, I do stand-up all over the place. That's what you say when you're an MC and you don't know the person. I've seen this guy all over the place.
What's your Twitter handle?
At Tony Does Comedy.
And he does. He does it well. I like his comedy. That's why I have him on the show. And I also like my second episode guest, Edwin Santos. Explain yourself.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me here. I'm an actor and a producer. I have a film called Blue Dream with James DeBall and Dominic Swain, Caden Cross. That's in the film festivals around town, not around town, but around the U.S. and sorts. And I watch guys like him. Don't forget that.
Are you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter. I don't remember my handle. Hold on. Oh, okay. It's Edwin_A_Santos.
Brilliant. Okay, on the docket, we have some new news from Alec Baldwin. Thank you, Alec Baldwin.
Everyone.
You are the best. We appreciate you so much. So I'm just going to read a little article that I read from a source that will not be named.
I think you have to cite your sources, actually.
I'm not citing the source.
Okay.
The source is the problem.
The source is my improv team, by the way. We're going to start playing next month on the 14th of July.
Where?
At Neon Venus Art Theater. That is a plug, and here we go. So, these are the tweets. Okay, first I should say, I'm just gonna read it. While a crowd of hundreds mourned late James Gandolfini at his funeral yesterday morning, Hilaria, wonderful name by the way, Baldwin, who attended the service along with her husband Alec, was tweeting up a storm. At least that's what the August Daily Mail claimed in an article posted Thursday afternoon. From timestamps on tweets in her feed, the paper deduced that the 7 months pregnant yoga instructor, I don't know why that's relevant, but whatever, had sent a message about her upcoming first wedding anniversary just as the funeral was about to start, and two retweets while it was already underway. Is it bad to tweet at a funeral? Let's just get a consensus on that.
Yes, it is. It's like going on a date or a blind date and you have the date tweeting or on her cell phone. You're not paying attention to why you were there in the first place.
Yeah. It's disrespectful, right?
What if you check in?
Check in.
Yeah. Check in, maybe a we'll miss you. Like a check in tribute.
That's crazy. You're funny, Kat.
Thanks.
You don't get enough credit.
I think
checking in.
Yeah, no.
That's disrespectful.
Probably
too.
Not.
Yeah.
What if you check in as the person who died?
I'm in the coffin. Just so you know, that's where I'm...
Just chilling.
Chilling like a villain. Okay, so...
I smell weird. That's what they would tweet.
Yeah. I'm decomposing.
Formaldehyde.
That could be an interesting Twitter account. Someone who just constantly tweeting from,
rigor mortis, am I right?
I'm gonna do that. I've been thinking of fake Twitter handles to have. I forgot. What I wanted to do, but
that sounds amazing.
I don't want to commit to that.
Okay, back to the article. Hilaria later denied the charges, tweeting that she doesn't believe in bringing phones to a funeral. I never did, and I never would. A source tells this magazine that Hilaria left the service earlier because it was very warm inside the church. Yeah, I mean, who doesn't leave a funeral early? Just because of the weather. I mean, if you're going to go to a funeral, maybe you should bring a fan. You know, it's going to be a little bit heated.
I mean, I can kind of understand leaving a funeral early. Like, maybe it's just a really emotional time for you. It's too much for you. You feel like, I just need to get out of here. I think we've all been in situations where, you know, I mean, really, I mean, I don't know if you've ever lost someone, like, close to you, but it can be hard to have to face all those people, you know?
I would never leave a funeral early because they always have food after.
No, yeah.
And it's always,
that's
like,
the
best. It's the best food.
Yeah.
Well, you can always, yeah, come back.
That's
you
true.
Leave and
that's
come back.
True.
Yeah.
Leave for the boring part.
Come for the wake.
It's like, what is it about? Like, is it like, yeah, don't they do that, like, in, because I used to do parking, or like a parking attendant at a Jewish, whatever.
Temple.
Church, temple, whatever. And they would have, was it, correct me, it's not a bar mitzvah, it's not a bat mitzvah, what is it? It's for, like, if they have food, but they're celebrating something, but they have food.
Passover?
It could be anything.
Could be anything, right? So it's like they would have service, but then they would have food right afterwards. It seems to be like that all.
Oh,
I think food makes everything better, you know?
Rosh
Hashanah.
Well, back to the tweeting fiasco. Alec Baldwin got in on the fray and started tweeting up a storm, as they say in the article. Someone wrote that my wife was tweeting at a funeral. Hey, that's not true. But I'm going to tweet at your funeral. Okay! Wow, way to overreact,
Baldwin.
That's
a blatant threat to everyone, I guess.
Yeah, who's
yeah.
Who was that to?
Yeah.
He didn't tag anyone in that?
At my funeral?
I'm guessing it was the Daily Mail writer or journalist, George Stark. And he pretty much says that in the next tweet.
Okay.
George Stark, you lying little bitch. I am going to fuck you up.
Wow.
Okay, wow. Right on the Daily Mail's page. That's really... You're really trying to compete with Mel Gibson right now.
He's basically saying, yeah, we're not that trashy, you fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Then it gets even worse. My wife and I attend a funeral to pay our respects to an old friend, and some toxic Brit writes this fucking trash. And then he keeps going. If I put my foot up your fucking ass, George Stark, but I'm... That made no sense. You can't even do it with the right grammar, but I'm sure you dig it too much. That one was not a very good one. Not a good one, Baldwin. You know, try again. Okay, then he says, I'm going to find you, George Stark, you toxic little queen, and I'm going to fuck ... you ... up. Just to make it clear that he's not actually going to fuck you. He's going to fuck you up. So that means he's going to fight you, not have sex with you.
So he has a blueprint plan
already
made.
Just follow the ellipses to figure out what he really means.
Don't get it twisted. He's not interested in you. He's not propositioning you. He's propositioning killing you.
Although, I mean, you know, there's a thin line between love and hate. I think we all know that, so.
Then, I don't have a publicist anymore. I fired them. Sure, they didn't quit. Because they were done. Because they were like, okay, that's it, dude.
So
we can do nothing for you anymore.
So he fired his publicist before he made these tweets? Is that what it
I'm
is?
I'm thinking that's probably what he's suggesting.
So he's displacing his anger. I don't know. Maybe not. Or
maybe he fired his publicist for not stopping him. You know?
Before
dude.
That.
Like,
it wasn't really
there to save me from myself, you know?
It wasn't like they were doing a very good job anyway.
Maybe we should all, like, have a holding period where we
let's have a moment
what we're tweeting before they go out.
Let's have a moment of silence for Alec Baldwin's publicist. Which can't be completely silent because we have air conditioning and stuff. It's hot as hell outside. Anyway.
It's really hot.
It is.
Okay. Silence. Okay, and let's have a celebration of the fact that he's in the news again.
Yay.
Thank
talking?
You, Alec Baldwin.
Oh, yes.
Alec
what is it?
Baldwin.
The Baldwin song, Alec Baldwin from the movie.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You mentioned it before, Abby Baron.
Oh, that? Alec
what
wow.
is it? Something Alec Baldwin. We can't afford it. Anyway, Monsters University opened pretty big at the box office. $46.2 million. The Heat was number two with
I mean, how could
Monsters,
million. Inc. open
so
day?
So it's really close.
It's an adorable sequel.
But it's
to
really
an animated,
interesting to see
a
like,
popular animated film.
A G-rated movie and an R-rated movie so close together, like one after the other. Like, that's pretty interesting. And it's a girl movie.
Different tastes for different viewers, I guess. You know?
Plus, I don't think people in the West Coast want to watch a movie called The Heat.
Yeah,
right now.
That's not something.
There was that's the movie with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy, right?
Yeah, it was not promoted very well, but it didn't.
Well, a lot of people were complaining that they photoshopped Melissa McCarthy in
exactly.
the poster. And I thought that was a little bit, you know, them kind of not noticing that just about every movie poster ever made, you know.
Yeah, but when it's a fat person, made
yeah.
it to look
but,
different.
I mean, it's always like
it's
an old person made to look young, you
yeah.
know. They
Come
do
on,
all kinds
George
of
Clooney.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever been a movie poster that hasn't been doctored, so it's kind of I think it's a little
well,
embarrassing.
The reason they
out.
Do that is because people are shitty. Like, you know, like
yeah,
like I don't
shitty.
Think it's their like
they're shitty
it, they're, they have you know, they have a research team that researches the fact that people don't like to see fat people on their posters.
Yeah, but with
Melissa's Chris Farley.
I mean I think
funny.
Though that you know, Melissa McCarthy is proof that people wanted to see people, you know, of her build in movies because
right.
well,
she
sells movie tickets.
They want to laugh at her and they want to see her laugh at herself.
Well, she's a comedian.
Was she on the poster for Bridesmaids?
But if she were a comedian, do you think that she would have an
yeah.
easier
Just
go?
Like
if she were like Kathy Bates and not as
I mean, I love Kathy Bates. Like, I think that it's, you know.
Is there enough room for all the Kathy Bates?
There isn't enough room for all of anyone in the world, but you know,
there's enough room for all the, like, Nicole Kidmans and the...
No, do you know how many, like, attractive women there are that are out of work in Hollywood? I think that it's just there are only so many slots to fill at the top tier of the entertainment industry in general. But, no, I think that, you know, I like to think that we're changing as a society, and I hope that we're just starting to accept everyone. And, you know, I don't know, I think diversity is important in casting. In general, for like looks and everything else, if everyone looks the same, you know, what's the point in going to see a movie?
But then there's also the double standard of men being able to be fat and get hot women and everything, and all these media forms. Like you see people like Jonah Hill, we brought up last time. He's got a good career going. He's actually going even higher than people thought he would, and he got nominated for an Oscar, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So. Like, he's getting chances
so
that... Yeah, yeah. I mean, if they're, like... They're, yeah, they're, like, the same kind of type of character, but if she wanted to go to drama, is what I'm saying, is, like, would they let her do that?
I don't know. I'd go see her. But I'm... At the same time...
I don't mean to
interrupt. No.
But I saw on a plane back to L.A. from New York recently, I saw Identity Thief.
Yeah.
And I think what happened... that people didn't really relate to or like about the film was that she became really sympathetic at the end, her character, and she showed a very sensitive and different side to her, and people weren't ready for that. They don't want to see her like break down and cry and emote and be dramatic. I think that was probably what...
Was it a good movie, though? Like,
it was a good movie because of that side, I thought.
Because I heard
people don't
want to
see that.
Okay, I never seen the film to give an opinion.
They want to see a comedy, they want to see all comedy.
I don't
then
know
they
about
get like
that.
Ambushed
that's
with
not,
sadness.
It's not true.
No, it got really sad.
I mean, I think it's hard for comedians to just switch
gears. Just
anyway,
like
right?
switch gears.
Like, Jim Carrey had a really hard time going from comedian to dramatic actor. And some people can easily make the transition, some can't.
Does the Truman Show have like an album?
I mean, if you...
The whole spectrum.
Robin Williams did a good job.
Yeah.
On comedy, too.
I mean, a lot
yeah.
of it. I mean, Billy Crystal never really made it. Steve Martin kind of
lately.
We're
getting really serious on this episode. Oh, my God. About comedy.
I think
it
just
it down.
Depends on the person. It comes down to their choices.
Yeah.
What they choose to do.
Yeah, no, I think there's some... It's how you brand yourself, whether or not you can pull it off.
Yeah.
There's so much involved. There's so many variables. It's hard to just... have a hard and fast role, like Louis C.K. Depressing, very dramatic, but very funny man, you know?
He does toe the line very well.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone would not find him believable or relatable
in
a dramatic role.
He's always...
And he's in a Woody Allen movie coming up.
Really?
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
to me, that sounds okay
I'm
in my
just,
head.
Perfect.
You know?
And it's a drama.
I'm very excited now that you said that. Like, the two of them together, I mean, I don't,
very
I'll go see that movie no matter what. If it has a 1% rating from the critics on RottenTomatoes.com.
It looks pretty good.
It's got to be
what,
amazing.
What's it called?
Cate Blanchett?
Mm-hmm. I forgot the name. She's really funny.
I think she's in it.
Yeah. She's
it's,
great.
It's Blue Jasmine.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen
Alec Baldwin's in it.
Back to Alec Baldwin. Good luck with that career.
I'm gonna go see that movie. I'm very
well,
excited.
And but Andrew Dice Clay got the part of Louis Redford.
Okay, that's interesting.
Because Woody Allen had him read, which like he usually doesn't even have
that's
auditions at all.
Yeah,
at all.
I
guess
he's gotten a little more grounded over the years.
Well,
yeah.
I mean he's done a lot of little indie movies and stuff.
Yeah.
He's been acting a lot of TV, small TV stuff.
It's not the same kind of jokester.
Sort of
fuck this, fuck that.
I mean, well, the guy, I don't know. I haven't seen him do comedy.
I did remember seeing something with him, but he was pretty serious. So
but,
he's trying to do like a Vanilla Ice. Like, go
I mean,
back to the,
he has like such a strong presence.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's always been.
Like, I think that was his biggest thing in his comedy.
But back to Louis C.K., like, I've seen a lot of his early work on YouTube, you know, I've seen, like, his short films, and he does have those sick, twisted kind of humor, but also pathos, and, like, he really puts a lot into the message that he sends out to people.
And there's always kind of a wink and a nod,
and
David
Lynch,
grounded in reality.
Who's actually on the last season, as Jack Dahl, on Louis, the TV show, he was probably a little bit the inspiration for this venture that he had with the short films directing.
Yeah, I mean, his Coppola was like his hero, if I'm not mistaken. David Lynch has an album coming out.
Wow.
Yeah, he does some really interesting experiments with music.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's like drony, kind of like crazy.
So
really
it's not like
just
William Shatner and stuff?
I mean,
like actual,
it's very experimental.
It's not Twin Peaks. It's way deep beyond Twin Peaks.
I love Twin Peaks. The second season, the second half of the second season got
a little
weird.
Yeah,
I
it just
I
lost
heard,
it.
Yeah,
very
but
well.
I've never seen it.
I never
you'd like it.
I never saw the movie, and I wanted to
oh,
see if it,
will,
with
me?
If it resolved anything from that weird second season.
It's,
I don't know.
The movie's good. You should check it out. Definitely. It's just kind of like another component to the story. It doesn't really. It can stand alone.
Does it open new questions at the end of the movie? That'll kill me right there.
It's just kind of, you know, it's just like you're done with Twin Peaks. You're like, I want to see more. Watch the movie. You
that's
know?
How it felt about Space. Oh my gosh, that show.
You kind of learn more about Laura Palmer. She's alive during it, so. Uh-huh. That's the biggest spoiler I'm gonna get.
No one dies in Space, but it's a really good show. From it, what was the channel? I don't remember what channel, but it's from the UK,
mm-hmm.
And it plays on one of those channels here too, like one of the public channels or whatever. And starred early Simon Pegg and early Nick Frost, directed by Edgar Wright. Their first real big project, and it's from 1999 to 2001.
And his style has remained so consistent. Like, you definitely see Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
And
then
has zombies, which is really good.
Yeah, he's like killing zombies, and you can totally see
the influence.
Yeah.
You know?
There's like a lot of movie references in it, though. Like,
Like
the way it's shot, it's like shot.
Star Wars. His character was really depressed about the Phantom Menace. He was in a deep depression for most of the episode.
I heard that Simon Pegg said this, that, God, what's his name, the guy from the show where he talks to the dog, Elijah Wood?
Oh yeah,
Wilfred.
No, okay, but like Elijah Wood recut, he edited the Star Wars, the new trilogy,
mm-hmm.
into one like 2-hour movie.
Wow.
And that it was good.
That's
like,
really,
it was really good.
Maybe they should
do
that with The Hobbit. That should just become a thing. Like the audience cut.
That's what I heard anyway.
I can't wait
story.
To see it.
They like showed it at a party.
Is that your source?
I think Simon Pegg said that.
I hope it's true, and I want to see that.
Oh, and when the show ended, it was really great to see via Wikipedia that they continued the story for the viewers to really catch up on what happened afterwards. And they actually filmed something of a little like button for the show. That was really interesting. Of course, get to the end, which was a documentary about space. So I recommend checking that out. Really good.
I saw it. I remember watching it. Like, it must have been like 2004 ish.
Yeah, it was 2004.
Does it take place in space?
No, ironically, no. It's about.
Kind of in a little apartment complex.
It's an apartment.
It's a space.
Okay, I got it.
Just a little
living space.
Living spaces. Living spaces.
Definitely can't do that.
Sponsor.
I didn't say that.
Wait.
Anyway.
If Living Spacers wants to sponsor the show.
If we go ahead. We should just start asking everyone for money right now.
Can't yeah, see.
An Netflix. Adventure capital company that would like
so
to help us.
Like,
iTunes.
Stamps.com.
Wait, iTunes doesn't
I
work.
I could really go
Mark
for a Diet Coke right now.
No Diet Coke. It was Dr. Pepper.
Or Pepsi, whatever.
Or Sprite, or
don't be surprised
Gingerel.
If like you open the door tomorrow and there's boxes of Diet Coke.
That
right
would be
in the
amazing.
I would,
yeah.
I would be very surprised.
I would die of a Diet Coke overdose.
Beer.
You'd see my dead body just surrounded by empty Diet Coke cans.
She does die in our movie.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Whoa, yeah.
In the beginning of it.
But I'm back. Yay.
Addled. So check out Addled online. We are still doing the Indiegogo campaign, guys. So I should probably reference that in my description, and I will. Sorry, I haven't gotten to that. But we are looking for funding for that film so that we can continue filming it. And we're not going to until you pay up. So that's my ransom note of the day.
Oh.
Just kidding.
That's one way to get money on Kickstarter.
Do you want to see this girl die in a tub?
I'm really sad people are just paying.
The movie is not really
to
depressing.
Kill me.
It's really a life apartment. It makes you think.
What can you do, right?
Yeah. Also, the proceeds, 10% of them go to NOPE, the narcotics overdose prevention education project.
Ah,
I remembered it.
Nice work.
So work.
Have you ever forgotten an acronym and just made things up on the fly? I've totally done that.
I might have messed up. No, I didn't do that.
Probably.
No.
Nope.
I'm good. Never did.
Give me one.
Never done that. Nope.
Give me an acronym.
Nope.
AFTRA.
AFTRA.
Ooh, that's a hard one.
I know what it is, though.
SAG-AFTRA. There's a harder one.
OPEC.
OPEC?
Operation.
Oceanic.
Simon Pegg.
Operations preferred. East.
Operation preferred East. What's the
collective?
Scene? Collective. I like
that.
That
makes no sense.
It's really
collective
official sounding, yeah. Yeah, if you have a really generic name for your company,
or corporation.
Huge.
It's probably corporation.
Yeah.
Jezebel says hi, everybody. Let's say hello to Jezebel.
No, she actually is turned away from us.
Hello,
she's
making a butt face.
But she has her ears pointed towards us.
Hello, girl.
She's really ignoring Elle right now.
Why
don't you love our show? We love you.
She's listening. Like, she's got her ears.
Okay.
We know.
That's all that matters, is that she's listening.
Yeah, it's ironic that our mascot for our radio show is a bunny that makes no noise.
But it's okay, because we're in the rabbit hole anyway, so it doesn't really, we don't need
Is that the name anymore. For our home? Like, Rabbit Hole Manor? Something?
Oh, Sherlock.
I like
that. Sorry, I was just reminded of Sherlock. Have you guys seen Sherlock?
No. Nah, no.
The BBC?
No. I heard it's good, but...
For elementary?
Isn't it like an hour and a half per episode?
You're too lazy to watch the whole episode.
Well, it's like that's like a movie. It's like each episode's a movie.
That's what it's supposed
to be. That's crazy.
That's why it was nominated for the Emmy.
High production value, though, and it's
I
pretty
heard it's
well
good.
Yeah.
I love a Scandal in Belgravia.
Okay.
It's way better than the book.
Really?
Isn't books better than anything else?
That's
what I hear.
I disagree with that. I think that's true. Stupid. Yeah.
Lord of the Rings.
Jurassic Park.
King Kong.
From time to time.
There was a book.
I think High Fidelity is, they're about even. I like them both a lot.
What about Saying Anything?
Is that a book?
I don't think so.
I don't think that's a book.
Citizen Kane.
I haven't read or seen it.
Any Stephen King.
Wouldn't it be funny if no one had actually seen Citizen Kane? Like, people just kept saying it was the best movie and then someone actually watched it and they were like, oh my god, you've been wrong all these years. Like,
no, actually, okay, I can say because I watched it in film class last semester for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
It has its things. It has its things that I like about it, and the mise-en-scene is pretty good. Where you can see, like, the foreground, the background, and the middle ground. Like, everything's placed a certain way. It's very theatrical, not theatrical, stagey, kind of, sort of, the staging.
Citizen Kane?
Yeah, Citizen Kane has a lot of that. And then a lot of political stuff that's really relevant for today as well. And it was groundbreaking in the filmmaking, but it's no Gone with the Wind. And that's racist.
We concluded that's a little racist.
But it's not as racist as Birth of a Nation, which is really held in high regard by film critics worldwide.
It still is groundbreaking. In some ways, if you just avoid all that other political
it's
stuff.
It's really awkward, because we didn't even get to see the whole thing because it's so racist.
You know what I think is funny?
Just
sexism in old movies.
And
like, you know, where like, the main male character will just backhand a woman and then she'll immediately kiss him. She's like, oh, I'm a weak woman. I just needed to be bitch slapped.
I want
to
see a guy get bitch slapped and then kissed.
Oh my god, that would be an amazing scene in a movie.
We should do that.
Yeah.
Like, we should get...
Do I get to
Bill? Bill and you. Phil Cruz and you. Shout out to Phil Cruz.
I mean, the whole movie should be kind of like
who
an
plays
old
Jack.
Movie kind of tribute, though. And that
in
should just be a scene that's very much worked up to.
Yeah.
I had this movie ending. It's just the ending of a movie. I don't know why. It's just like a guy and a girl, and like it's like he's running to catch her or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's all dramatic, you know, like a romantic comedy. And then like they like catch, and it's like silhouettes. You see like the sun setting and shit.
Aww.
And then he's just like, I just want to like go down on you. Forever.
Aww,
and then they go in for the kiss, and his head goes down.
And he just lifts his head down.
Yeah, that's true honesty.
That
right
sounds
there.
Like
that's honesty.
Every
right
woman's
there,
fantasy
that's,
right there.
It's not realistic.
Yeah.
I said that to a girl one time.
We
were dating.
What did she
like,
say? Was she like happy?
I guess.
She like get to it.
like in Reba. Like, I dropped my drawers and I said, hop to it. Like, Reba, have you ever seen that video, Reba? It's like this old SNL video.
Oh, yeah, Reba McEntire.
And it's just like, Reba McEntire is just Keaton Thompson in a red wig he found in a dumpster.
Oh, it's funny. It wasn't ever her in the first place.
It's yeah, he's just pretending to be Reba McEntire.
It's like a new kind of version of Mango, except twisted.
Yeah.
Guys, remember Mango?
It might be the greatest. That might
like,
be
like,
the
like,
greatest.
I don't like Mango. Not a fan.
No, Mango the person on SNL?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm
I thought you meant
Chris
the fruit for a minute.
Not a Chris Kattan. No, I have a mango in my fridge right now.
Oh,
that
sounds delicious.
So hard when I get home.
Okay.
Whole mango by myself. It's gonna happen.
I want them to bring Mango back.
It's gonna be all gold. No, man.
Chris Kattan can use the word.
Mango.
Ooh, backhanded
you
compliment.
Want Kattan, you want Chris Kattan mango or the Rock
yes,
mango?
Yes, Chris Kattan.
I remember the Rock.
The Rock played the...
I don't like the Rock.
You don't like the Rock?
But I like, you know who I like in drag? Channing Tatum. He was hilarious in this like girly skit on Jimmy Fallon.
I just everyone.
Just kept saying the whole time.
You know who looks great in drag is Jared Leto. Yeah.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but I can believe it.
Yeah, he's got the eyes for it.
You know who also was in drag?
Who?
James Franco.
He's hideous in drag.
But he was in drag, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, no. I remember.
I was trying to bring it back to James Franco.
Do you?
Thank you for that.
But you don't like James Franco?
No, I don't. I don't dislike James Franco. He's cool. You know, he seems like a nice person, you know?
I heard he's kind of a dick.
He's kind of a dick.
Okay, let's...
And I'm just kidding.
Let's not defend characters.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, fuck James Franco, though.
Seth Rogen's cool.
Seth Rogen's really cool. He's the coolest person
I've
ever met. Is he?
From what I've seen, yeah.
He's like my age, isn't he? Like,
he's been doing it since he was like 13. I've been doing it since I was 8.
It's I love seeing those videos of those kids when they're like 12 years old doing these amazing like stand-up routines.
Yeah, he was 13 when he started stand-up.
Yeah.
Oh, and same thing with, not the same thing.
You're just like, what have I been doing with my life?
Luke Cannon started early, but he was really good. Where he probably did like a bunch of like little teenager jokes.
There's this kid.
My mom
today
got really mad at me.
I did a show with a 12-year-old one time, and he was really good.
Aww.
A 12-year-old?
That's so cute.
I did a show with Clappers. I forget. I would totally book him on a show now. Like, that would be awesome.
Now he's like,
people would be like, where'd you find this child? Well, it was funny, too, because he, this guy was, like, making fun of him backstage a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Not, like, really, but he was just kind of giving him shit.
Yeah.
And then that guy sucked. Also, and then that guy left, and like he left with like a quarter of the audience with
oh,
him,
wow.
And like I guess he brought all these people.
Yeah.
And the kid just like talked shit on him for the first couple minutes of his act and killed with it. Like,
that's awesome.
Was he blonde?
No.
Maybe the guy was jealous that the kid was a better comedian than him. And
well, I don't think the guy had even seen him.
Yeah.
That's messed up to like judge someone based on their age. Funny
yeah.
Knows no age. Everybody's
I think kids are
it's
really
weird,
funny.
Because they were from
yeah.
He was from the Inland Empire. And it's really weird. Like one time I did a show in Modesto.
Uh-huh.
And
cool.
It was a really weird experience. Like I think I did 15 minutes. And that's what they told me to do. And then I got backstage and the headliner, quote unquote headliner, was like yelling at me or something. And he was like, you did 15 minutes. I was like, yeah, that's what they told me to do. And I guess he was like freaking out because like he was going to get less time or something. And that guy did like, I don't know, he's going to do like 40 minutes.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I'm sure you're not, you can't do that. Like,
that's an HBO special's worth of comedy right there.
How far can you do comedy? Like, if you do stand-up? Because
What do you mean?
I attempted to do stand-up, and the only thing I could think of making fun of myself, mm-hmm. and then I made fun of my race. And then when I... And I did, and
well,
I
you
did,
can get away with that.
Well, I don't know, because I did in front of an Asian audience, and they booed me after that.
Oh.
I thought, like...
I got booed once.
Did you talk about their driving again?
Well, yeah, that's easy. But I mean, I would talk about other things that relates to me and then everything else, and I realized...
Just don't talk about women.
Oh, no, not just about me. But I mean, I was kind of surprised because I thought... I found it funny if an Asian person made jokes about it, and I seen it at the comedy store, and I would laugh. I would go like, oh my God, but I would laugh afterwards. I thought they'd be in the same mind...
Do you mean how far can you go as far as, like, doing anything? Like saying anything, or
if, yeah.
Being racy?
Not race. I think it's
sometimes
just more
you get
obvious
a tough
racy.
Crowd, you know, you just get a tough crowd. Like, what can you do? Like, some people
or
just
bad venue.
No matter what you say, they're not gonna laugh. You know.
Majority of them are women. So
I mean, I've turned crowds on, like I did the IO mic,
mm-hmm.
and everyone was doing their. There was the SNL showcase.
Yeah.
Which is basically just like a scam. To get people to take classes there, right? Like, don't say that. All right, I'm sorry, but like, you know,
we love you, Io.
Yeah, Io is great. It's great. I like Io too. But come on, and so, anyways, I was really annoyed because it was like, I'm like
sorry,
here, trying to do stand up and everyone's doing their stupid characters and shit, and probably a little bitterness because I wasn't even doing that. Everyone was all talk. I mean, it was all anyone talked about for like weeks.
That's true.
So it was getting annoying.
It was a long thing. Yeah.
So I had a couple bits about how I don't like impressions, and I did those. And it's basically like I just got up on stage and was like, "Fuck you guys, you idiots." I didn't say that, but
did they enjoy your?
I still like. I don't like impressions.
Did you win them over with that?
No, they hated it. And, like, they were like, "Oh man, it got so bad in there."
Sometimes though, it's fun to be like trolling the audience a little bit, like just to mess with them.
That.
Like sometimes you're getting them to be your entertainment, you know?
Yeah.
I think Andy Kaufman.
Well, Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
Well, on Super Awesome.
Well, no.
Not
like this.
No, yeah, you did it to a certain degree, but not.
But I do like, I don't know, like I thought
remember
I said.
When you felt
I
that?
Love it when you
I
come on
truth.
Our show personally.
Like lying down on the stage.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I do that.
Well,
here's
a
pillow.
One time I saw the Zach Galifianakis lies down, I was like, bastard.
Oh no!
Lie down, comic.
It's such a weird thing. Like, why doesn't that happen more? Like, nobody ever explores the space.
Yeah, anything. Like they just like want to curl up in a little ball and go to sleep.
That's what he did.
No,
there's
I remember
so many,
that.
But there's so many
I
things.
I brought you a pillow.
I think you
she
could do in stand up
yeah.
that are like people just don't do for whatever reason. It's weird to me.
Like, why don't they just unzip and just like flash everyone? You know, that never happens.
That reminds
that,
me.
Why not?
Tweeners.
Like, that's the thing, you think that you're just, like, completely, you know, you have to do this or that, but why not defy expectation? I think that the best
said,
art...
Gonna talk
I think
about
Barbara Gray, who's, like...
I love her.
Yeah.
Shout out to Barbara Gray.
So she's, like, she's not, like, skinny, and she did a set in her underwear one time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. I give people props for originality because I just get bored with the same thing. And when you're willing to take a risk, to me, I respect that,
that's
even
what,
if it doesn't succeed.
I think that's why I went, like, a little bit, not as racist as I thought as I could be.
Yeah.
But to me, it was experimental because I wanted to test their... I like you, I'm kind of bored with the, you know, the same old thing.
My thing is you gotta please yourself over... I mean, yeah, like, to a certain extent, like, you're obviously doing... I mean, mics aside, open mics is what it's like, you try shit out, fucking, who cares?
Yeah.
But, like, you are there to entertain people. But I do think it's, like, art, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just fucking... I don't know. I hate putting restrictions on it. Like, something I did was, like, I would make rules for myself. Like the first... thing that was like the biggest inhibiting thing that I did was like everyone always says talk about yourself the first thing you do when you get on stage, say something about yourself. And if you watch, like, it's like 9 out of 10 comics get up there and just say something about themselves right away,
or they say
the most obvious thing about yourself.
I'm gonna get in trouble if I say this.
Just go.
Just do it.
Does it have the N word on it? No.
I don't like black chicks. Like, a guy gets up there and says, like, he doesn't like a certain sort of.
Where
person.
Did that come from?
If you're gonna make an inflammatory statement, you better be able to back it up.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
if
it
you
be...
can do it, if you can be funny, you know, if you're gonna just.
Like, if it goes to a joke.
Then you damn well better.
I mean,
be able
I had
to
a
you.
Thing. Like,
I feel like I've seen something like that.
Or usually it's like, if I say that.
I don't like Asians, I don't like stamps, I don't like blah, blah, blah.
But if
I don't like. Triscuits or whatever.
But if I say
those
something
are comparable.
Like that, if I say something like I hate what you know a certain group or whoever I date, whatever like that, and back it up, I would say something. My backup would be to insult myself, not so much insulting.
Yeah, I think
you know,
that's
I'll just
what
be
I was
made, you know.
Thinking of like maybe I think I've seen that before, and it just like really gets in your head like oh well they are trying to fuck the audience a little bit.
I feel like I don't know. There's a lot of stupid shit going on right now with people saying you can't say words or you shouldn't say words.
The rape jokes. What do we think of rape jokes, everybody?
I do them, obviously.
I think
some people have a problem with rape jokes because they go to open mics, and those are like, well, there's that. But, like, no, also, like, from a comedian side, they see a lot of bad...
Did you just gesture towards me like
bad
they've
jokes?
Been raped and then you pointed at me?
No!
Like, are you calling me out or something?
No, I was
just
commiserating with you. I'm with you. I was making sure you got it.
Like, you know, people...
You're the girl. I have to go to the girl.
Okay.
I mean, like, come on. Everyone's been raped. Let's get over
yeah.
it. Big fucking deal.
Maybe you don't remember.
Bygones
are
bygones.
Maybe you regressed the memory. Not
yeah.
No, here's my thing is I think rape is something that isn't talked about enough,
and
anything
labor.
That adds to the conversation is positive, even if it's negative, because then if that pisses people off, then they still are forced to like bring it up, you know.
Yeah.
And like
yeah.
my friend did this thing. She gave a girl a ride to the airport and she didn't even know her, and then her and her friend they were talking about rape, and the girl in the back seat, I'm trying to see what part to leave out, so no. Anyways, this girl she didn't even know, it was her friend's friend, she's giving her a ride to the airport, and she's like, can you please not talk about rape, like I was raped and it makes me uncomfortable.
Oh, God.
I was like, dude, like fucking, you gotta be able, or like with me,
have a sense of humor.
Like my dad died when I was young, and so like I can't
dead
like
dad jokes.
I can't walk around saying like, can you not talk about death? Or like when somebody dies, I have no choice but to hear about it. You know,
yeah.
I did a Gandolfini joke pretty soon after.
Oh yeah, we did talk about James Gandolfini, but we can go further.
I don't know. I was just, my thing was just like, if you like, you can't know when you're gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, once you die, you don't really have a choice, you know? Because I think if James Gandolfini had a choice, he would have chosen to die after the season finale of The Sopranos and not the DVD release of The Incredible Burt Wonderstone. Right? That's what
I thought it was funny. I think it's funny.
I think that the thing about it for me is just that we tell, I mean, most of comedy is saying something that, you know, everyone's thinking, but no one really has the balls to say. You know?
Like
so,
you don't have the
balls. Also,
yeah, maybe I don't have the balls, but I'm just kidding. But,
I felt the need to talk about Gandolfini on stage because I was really hurt when he died. I was really sad about it. So, like, when something, like, is that affecting, like, I feel like I want to...
You want to talk about it.
Yeah,
it's therapeutic.
I
want to
joke about it, yeah.
It's therapeutic, yeah. You got to have a sense of humor, Alec Baldwin. What is your problem, Alec Baldwin?
You fucking clown.
And he is a comedian, you know?
He's not a comedian.
But he's, I mean, he does.
He's not a comedian.
He's not a comedian per se, but he does comedy. And then he just doesn't
seem. He doesn't have a sense of humor in real life.
He doesn't seem to have much.
No phones.
Sorry. Oh my god.
Get
that
awkward moment.
Sorry about that.
The most awkward moment on the show. Someone's phone ring.
I was gonna say, like,
I was really hoping it'd be a really
wait,
good
did Gandolfini die? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
I was gonna
we're
say,
just
like,
getting the news now.
I was gonna say, like, if Alec Baldwin doesn't get a Emmy nod this year for his final season of 30 Rock because of these tweets, then whatever he did on the tweets didn't really work out. Didn't do anything.
I mean, first the Words of Friends thing. No, first the
daughter.
Pig.
Yeah.
But even if
daughter
he's just
thing.
A horrible human being, if he does good work, do you think that he should be recognized for it? That's the question.
I don't know. Because,
well,
like, at a certain level, like, Hitler was a genius, you know? Like,
I was going to go to Alfred Hitchcock, but let's do Hitler instead.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, like, well, hey, you got to respect his military strategy. The guy's kind of a genius, you know? But,
good
like,
PR,
his,
campaigning?
Obviously, he had some other stuff that was worse than that.
He was
that
a good painter,
him. I don't know that he was
like
a good
dogs.
Painter.
Like dogs.
I think he was a shitty painter. That's
you know, George W. Bush
killed
took a little painting.
He was good.
Yeah, you thought he was good?
I thought it was
his
simplicity.
The selfies of him in the shower. What I loved about those paintings was just how ripped he made himself. Like, if you look at, like, the paintings, he's, like, painted the body of a 20-year-old man, you know?
The overtime.
I don't know, he's pretty...
Yeah.
He's pretty ripped. I don't know if you've ever seen him with his shirt on.
I haven't seen
not.
Him naked, but...
I don't know.
I don't want to.
Let's Google that right
you
now.
You have not lived.
Now I know what I'm gonna have nightmares about tonight,
what
actually.
What are you guys doing with your
I worked
time?
At a convalescent
okay.
hospital, so I kind of know what they all look like.
okay.
I'm going to switch the subject completely because I don't do segues on this show. Death to Smoochie. Has anyone seen it? I was up last night.
I like that movie.
It's so good.
I really love it.
When we're talking about like Robin Williams, he did a great job in this movie, but so did Edward Norton, who really like turns out
he's
really
great.
Cute. Innocent performance.
After I met Danny DeVito, my friend told me that if you talk to Danny DeVito about Death to Smoochie, he'll become like very comfort. Like he'll be really like if you tell him you like Death to Smoochie, because it got a lot
it's
of
such a
like,
cult hit.
It got a lot of bad
the,
reviews.
I was on the IMDb
bad press.
Page last night.
I'm gonna have to watch it tonight because I feel like
it's not online.
It was it's on
it.
My list of films to see, and
I
don't. I
wish
know
it was
why
on Netflix.
I like that.
Shout out to Netflix. Cult films that you are aware that this week is the 20th. Is 20th anniversary? 20th or 10th? I'm not sure of The Room.
Oh yeah, you're right.
And she nods her head. No,
I haven't seen it.
I did not know that. That was not on my calendar.
Did not.
The Room. Yes.
I've only seen bits
seen
and pieces on YouTube.
I don't like bad
Hi,
movies.
Mark.
I don't like. They hurt my feelings. Like I was like, I didn't get to make a movie yet.
This guy gets to make all these shit.
I don't like it. I don't know. I guess.
Well, I mean, like,
it's an inspiration.
If that movie was made, then there's like a chance.
There's
for
hope.
All,
yeah.
It just
there's an audience for everybody.
And
right?
they,
or an audience
it makes me want to casually toss a football back and forth to someone.
People pay to see this film. That's what I just don't.
I mean. It's, you know,
and
it's,
make fun of it.
It's
what's
funny
that,
though, like YouTube for a
what's
long
that
time.
Movie?
Is,
oh.
Just videos of people unintentionally being funny. All right, go ahead.
And Spoon Thing.
I was gonna say Troll 2. Have you seen Troll 2?
No, I've seen bits and pieces.
Do you know what it is? It's like
one of the worst films of all time.
It's like, well, they had it's pre The Room.
Yes.
Wow.
It was
special effects.
It's called Troll 2. There's a troll. There's the first troll. And Troll 2 has nothing to do with it. It's not even. In fact, they're not even trolls in it. They're like.
Brand.
Trolls?
They're like. What are they? They're like. Not trolls.
Are they troll dolls?
No, they're not trolls at all.
That would be cute.
That's.
There's something else.
Wouldn't that
and
be
then,
cute?
And then it was written by like this Italian couple who. Their English isn't perfect,
okay.
So like the lines are not like
oh,
they're
God.
Like
English.
they're just written really weird.
Yeah.
And
there
it's
was
like
one,
the worst acting
there
ever.
There was one line that I saw.
Special effects.
I love terrible movies.
I saw like they have like a list on YouTube. I'm not gonna promote the channel, but like the worst lines in movie history, movie lines, and then one of them's like a guy coming onto a girl, and he's like at a car. And they just went on a date. It's like, so let me come home and eat your pussy.
that's not how you end the night with
it,
a girl.
Is it a porno?
It's not even a porno.
Yeah, I was gonna
it
say.
It might have been
Troll
2.
Standard dialogue in most pornos.
It
right?
might have been.
See,
Troll
that's my
too.
Thing. If you're gonna watch a bad movie, why don't you just watch porn? It's more fun.
At least there's
get
sex.
Something done while you're watching bad dialogue.
But usually the sound is down.
Oh, you don't listen to it. You
do
just
you,
you don't like the moans.
You have roommates.
No moaning. that whole. Stuff.
Is that okay? Turn the volume up.
Scenes.
I'll turn the volume down like when they start having. Sex.
What about the guy's orgasm? Does that turn you on?
Not really.
Ooh.
It's weird. I go through phases.
The O face.
The porn phases.
Let's see everyone's hope.
Like you're into different fetishes.
You know
like
what
maybe
it
you
seems,
go through like a.
It
like
seems
a,
like a lot of people like when you look for porn online and like the highly rated ones are at the top. It seems like a lot of people rate highly the like Devil's Three Way videos where there's two dudes and a girl.
Oh, I
thought so
you meant
maybe
an
it's
actual,
a fantasy people have, but they just don't want to really.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought you meant
about.
Like Devil's.
Devil's Three Way.
That sounds interesting, though.
Two guys, one girl.
Two devils, one girl.
I saw it. Well, I just saw one.
What angel?
It was two angels and a dude.
Ah.
Two female angels and one.
That's
dude.
Not very
he
angelic.
Dies to go to heaven.
That's not an angelic behavior.
So it's sort of like a commentary on the Devil's Three Way phenomenon.
Maybe
so
it was
layered.
The opposite of the Devil's Three Way.
How can you call it the angel's
that is
three-way?
So. That is so homophobic to call it a double
three-way.
No, it's
because of this thing. the side of the beast.
I thought it meant like that it was two guys and that's like so evil or whatever.
No, it's
sodomy.
For those who are wondering, he's the point he's using is this finger and this finger.
Yeah, it was the, you know, like the rock and roll finger thing.
The shocker?
No, but that's just, it's called the Devil's Three-Way because it's
not Spider-Man?
The son of the devil.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And
that's a position?
Well, I don't think it's
no,
a position because
you
could be in any.
That would be
it
an
just,
impossible
there's
position.
There's two, no, yeah, that is called the shocker, too, or is it?
The shocker's
two in the pink, one in the stink.
What has this show become?
If you want to see
super
bad
awkward
movies, go check out Samurai Cop.
Really?
Yeah.
Samurai
that
sounds
like
Cop.
A great movie.
I say cop. I did not
he's
say
cop that. And a samurai.
Yeah, he's a, yeah.
Although,
is
where
samurai,
are those
samurai
cops?
Samurai Cop is like
he's a samurai cop from San Diego.
Okay, from San Diego.
I want to see Samurai Cop.
Samurai Cop sounds like an awesome film as well. I don't know,
it's
it
like
should be a gay
let's
film.
See if it's
like,
real.
It's a spin-off of that scene in Bruno.
Let's see if it's real. I'm going to Google it and see if it's real. Not Google it. No, I'm going to put it on IMDb.
Because
why you do that?
If it was a gay porn, there could be a sword fight, you know?
Sword
exactly
fight.
I bet it's a real thing. How much you want to bet?
Samurai,
let's do a bet.
Like, you could just have so many innuendos.
Oh, that's a good
bet.
That's a game I used to like to play.
What
is
are we
the
I'm sure it's a real film.
Isn't it this way?
No. Okay,
what
thinks it's
real? Like to play?
I don't know.
Who thinks Samurai
like
Cop is
give,
a real
you
thing?
Give a title of a movie and then you make the porn title.
Oh, okay, that's
oh, yeah,
really
we're going to do that. We do that a lot.
It's
okay.
Kind of like the in-bed game with fortunes, and you get a fortune.
Kind of.
Yeah.
So who thinks it's real? Samurai Cop.
I don't know.
I'm sure it's real. I mean,
everyone thinks
I
it's
find
real.
Out.
I know
I don't
there's
think
a
real
film called Napoleon Dynamite.
That's not very good.
There's some, like, really good,
okay, I'm looking
I mean,
up.
Like, high-budget
I found yours.
Porn.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, like,
it's not real.
Exabron directs all these parody porn parodies. So he has a new one for.
That's boring.
I saw the Breakfast Club one.
Oh, that's
pretty good. I saw the Star Trek one.
Why
the Breakfast Club porn? That sounds interesting.
Well, there's
don't mess with the bull, you'll get the horns.
I really always had a thing for Ally Sheedy in that movie.
Yeah.
Ooh, is she hot in that one?
In the porn.
I mean, she has to be.
I think Ally Sheedy and
at least a little bit hot.
A redhead.
Molly Ringwald.
Molly Ringwald. They have like a three-way with Emilio Estevez.
Oh, really?
In the porn parody.
But
my only thing about that though is just remember that scene where she's like she's shaking her dandruff onto
into her burp.
What sold me is when she puts cereal in her peanut butter sandwich.
Oh yeah,
that
was really cute.
There's the move. Right there.
I think that's cute.
I like food boobs.
Oh.
And my friend would make boobs with food at work.
Like, hey,
back
want a cookie? Would you like some candy?
Oh, man.
Don't make noise.
Breaking things.
There's
breaking
a
bad
studio.
There's a food that in the Filipino delicacies, there's a food called dimiguan. And people might think it's chocolate on top of rice.
I know
really,
what it is. It's fried pig blood.
Right. Fries pig blood on top of the rice with meat and pork and onion and stuff like that.
On that note, as awkward as it may seem, we have to end the show. Jezebel has actually turned our way, and that is our cue that we need to end the show. Thank you, Jezebel. You're always so very on time with these things.
Pig blood.
So, let's go around.
Interesting. But I mean, you eat bacon, there's pig's blood in bacon.
That's true.
You're just getting straight
We're
to
not
the
continuing.
Oh, yes.
Let's share what our most exciting moment of this episode was.
Learning that there's a fried pig's blood cracker rice cake snack. You know?
Asians will eat anything. Go ahead.
Samurai.
Racist.
Samurai cock. I'm pretty excited for that.
It's not a real thing, though.
For that Google.
Not yet.
We're going to make it.
After all.
It's going to be about a cock, like an actual, like,
a
bird, you know?
Oh, yeah, like, it's actually about a rooster.
Oh, yeah,
better,
like, fights
it's
crime.
It's like Air Bud.
And it's,
that sounds amazing.
And it's still a porn.
Oh, that's so cute.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
It has sex in his hand.
Maybe he's just getting ready for the big cock fight, you know? So he's training, kind of like Karate Kid.
It's actually a family film.
It's a family film.
Yeah, Samurai Cock.
Edwin?
What's the question?
The most exciting part of this episode for you?
Honestly, just to be invited to this podcast.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for inviting
Thank you for coming and giving us an Asian perspective on things.
Thanks for having me.
I really needed
just shaking
another,
my head at Elle right now.
I needed another race for the diversity of the show.
I'm the token Asian, thank you.
No, you're not. We're going to have more.
Oh my god.
We're going to have at least five. Every.
This is why iTunes keeps rejecting us.
Let's not give them a plug for rejecting us.
iTunes is great. Have you guys used iTunes?
I love
it's
iTunes and Netflix and Dr. Pepper and
anyone who wants to give us money.
Stamps.
Any cigarette companies looking
for you? No. We don't go that far.
Cop syrup manufacturers.
Mac computers. Macintosh. It's not called that anymore.
El Pollo Loco.
Apple.
El Pollo Hermanos? The one from the Chicken Brothers.
El Pollo Loco.
Arrested Development?
From, no, it was from Breaking Bad, the chicken place.
Hermanos.
I don't watch that.
Pollo Hermanos. You don't watch that?
How could you not watch that? Get the hell out of here right now.
No. We're just going to put it on after this and make him watch all the episodes.
I was watching it before everyone watched
it. You will be
it
hooked.
On the first season, and I thought it was great.
You'll be hooked like you're
and then,
on
And
heroin.
Then I watched the first three episodes, and I was waiting for the fourth one, and I missed it. And then I was waiting for them to redo it so I could replay it because I didn't want to get ahead. I had the whole first season DVR'd except for the fourth episode. So I kept
OCD
waiting, and then I left my mom's house at that time. And then all of a sudden everyone was talking about how it's the greatest show. I was like, I know. I felt like I broke up with a girl. It was like in high school, like this like girl came, and then I was her boyfriend, and she was the best. And then we broke up, and then everyone slept with her, and they're saying she's best, and she's all popular, and she doesn't talk to me anymore. That's how I feel about Breaking Bad. It makes me depressed.
Aww.
To watch it.
Cute story, bro. Right.
That just sounds like a bullshit excuse to me.
What's
on Netflix, and you can watch it.
We're gonna
thought it was
good.
I watched the first few episodes.
We want to facilitate a reconciliation.
Okay, so we're going to do that. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your listening to our rants. And Alec Baldwin, you know what to do. Stop being such a dumbass.
And we'll find out if she's still the same girl deep down that she was that you fell in love with.
Oh, and your wife's name is
Breaking
hilarious.
Bad.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for coming, everyone, and have a great day.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
Now get the hell out.